Well, in about 3 weeks and 2 days, we're going to start the fall holy days. And so let's take an overview. Sometimes it's good to get into detail. Other times it's good to back off and take an overview. Now, I would like to call your attention to chapter 2 in the Bible, Faithful Version. God's divine design of the Holy Bible and its numeric connection. Now, there are far more numbers than we have listed here, but I want you to go back over that. Read it. And so today we're also going to find out that the Bible is in fact put together with the various numerics of God, number 7 being very prominent, and the way that the Bible is put together in their divisions becomes very interesting. So let's come to Genesis, the first chapter, and what we're going to see is this. When it came time, God set the earth, the moon, and the sun in a synchronized fashion for particular, very particular things. We find this in Genesis 1. And we find it on day 4. Now, I want you to write down 4, because we're going to look at day 4. Day 4 is when God set the timing for the appointed times. So let's read it here in verse 14. And isn't that interesting? It is 2 times 7. And it is in the first chapter. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for appointed seasons. That could also be translated appointed times. And we cover some of these things in the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God had made 2 great lights, because the tense of the Hebrew is, he didn't create them here. He put them into their proper position at this point. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. God also had made the stars. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide between the light and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, we'll just project ahead some very interesting things concerning the number 4. So you can write this down. Number 4 is the middle day of the 7-day week. Now, we're going to see some patterns, because we know that everything begins with the Sabbath. But then number 4 and number 7 come into play as well. Very important. So just keep that number 4 in a place you can add some information to it as we go along. Now, in Genesis 2, we find that God specially created the Sabbath. And what you will find in the things in the Old Testament concerning the timing of things, that we have the correct translation so you know when the timing is and what it's talking about. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So isn't it interesting? In 6 days God made all the physical things, and the 7th day is the day for the spiritual connection with God. So there was nothing that he did on this day to create. And that's why verse 2, chapter 2 reads, and by the beginning of the 7th day, God finished his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had made. So God puts his presence in this day. And now it's in this day all the time for those who are seeking God. All the way through. Everything is based on the weekly cycle and the various numbers that are connected with God's plan. Verse 3, And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, can you find any place in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, where we find the scriptural authorization to change the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day? Now, what would that verse look like? And where would you find it? Well, you would have to find it in the New Testament. And who would be the one to make the change? Since God created and made it and put his presence in it, who would be the one who would have to change it? See, because no man can change any laws of God. They cannot change them. The most that men can do is to render judgments in particular situations concerning people and concerning the observance of God's way, not to change the Sabbath. That is a created time. So are the appointed times. So unless you can change the creation, which no man has the power to do, you have no authority, no means of changing it from the seventh day to the first day. Now, men have written many different excuses, many different philosophies, but one of the very first lessons that we learn in Genesis 3 and 4 is that man, if he goes against the word of God, sins, and God does not accept sin. He can forgive sin, which he will, but men, the first thing they like to do is to add to the words of God. So we have various warnings in the Bible concerning adding to it. Okay? Now, let's come to Genesis 14. Okay? Come over here to Genesis 15 for just a minute. Okay? Let's go there. Instead of 14, I meant Genesis 15. Now, when we look at the scheme of things concerning the holy days, now, which chapter, the only chapter in the whole Bible that has all the holy days listed, with the days they are to be kept on? No, Leviticus 23. That's the only chapter. Okay, so hold your place here in Genesis 15. We will come back. But let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Now, we find here that the Sabbath is important because the seventh-day Sabbath gives the overarching authority to all the holy days of God. So let's see how it reads, the first few verses here. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now, note this also. Note this also. This becomes very important. You will not find anywhere in the five books of the law where Moses gave a commandment that God did not tell him to give. Okay? Now that becomes important. So Moses was speaking for God because verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the appointed feasts of the Lord. Okay? Now we observe, very importantly, of the Lord shows ownership and possession. All right? If you own it, you have authority over it, correct? Yes, indeed. So this shows that man has no authority over the appointed feast of God, and the first one that he gives after saying, and you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my appointed feasts. So, if you approach a Protestant from this point of view, do you believe that God is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful? Do you believe that he is omnipresent, that is, have the ability to know everything that's going on everywhere at all times? Yes. So these are his appointed feasts. Now, if you believe that, do you believe you can go to God and tell him what to do? See, because having the Bible in its right order, in its seven divisions, we're going to see upholds the Sabbath and holy days of God. Now, we're going to see, very importantly here, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. So it is a rest to the Lord that we do. It is a rest that God has created and given to us. Then he says, verse 4, these are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. All right? The 14th day of the first month between the two evenings is the Lord's Passover. Now, then it lists unleavened bread, first and last day. Then it lists Pentecost and trumpets and atonement and tabernacles and last great day, all the way down through there. But what we are going to see is this. Before God does anything, you have to come to God with the sacrifice of God. Old Testament and New Testament. Now, back to Genesis 15. God called Abraham, gave him promises, and now he's ready to enter into a covenant. And before he can enter into this covenant, there has to be a sacrifice. And this becomes important. Now, I've covered this in other sermons, but let me just say this, that we know from Exodus 14 and from Genesis 15, when we put it together, that what we are talking about here in Genesis 15 is the Passover day and the first day of unleavened bread. And so the promise was given, and God guaranteed it. He said he would do it. And remember, God cannot lie. God's law is perfect. God's word is true. So if he made it, created it, said to keep it, commanded it to be done, and if we do it, then God will reveal to us what we need to know. So he promised him a son, and he guaranteed it by the heavens. Not only did he say, you're going to have a son from your own loins in verse 4. Isn't that interesting? Verse 4. All right, mark that down. Promise of Isaac in verse 4. And Isaac was a type of who? Christ. And day 4 is going to be important because that is the day in which he gave this covenant to Abraham, the 4th day of the week, the 14th day of the first month. Now, we get that from other scriptures when we put it together. Physical son first. Verse 5. He brought him outside and said, now look toward the heavens, the number of the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. Now, you read in the Passover book, and you read in the day Jesus the Christ died, that this has to do with the spiritual seed, to shine as the stars of heaven. As Daniel said in Daniel 12, and Jesus said in Matthew 13. Then after that, on the day portion of that day, which was the Passover day, you must have the sacrifice first before you go forward. So then here was this special covenant sacrifice. All right, now let's come forward. Let's come forward to Exodus 12. That was done on the Passover, the day which became the Passover. Now what do we find in Exodus 12 before God finishes his judgment against Egypt? Now, we're going to see there were two sacrifices on that Passover night. One was the sacrifice of God. So they were told, and what we need to understand is, the day that God gave the covenant to Abraham was the Passover day in the middle of the week, the 4th day of the week. Now, when we come to Exodus 12, We also know that it occurred, and we can get the correct chronology by things that we have in the scriptures to know that this Passover day was also in the middle of the week on day 4. So put that down. Set the sun, moon, and stars for the appointed times on the 4th day of creation. Created the Sabbath, 7th day. Then we come to the covenant given to Abraham. And I'm sure as you go through and read the numerics there in chapter 2 that you will pick up on more numerics. So it was the 4th day of the week that he gave the covenant to Abraham. 4th day of the week that the Passover was with the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. So what they were to do, we're not going to go through all of the technicalities of it because this is an overview. First, there had to be a sacrifice for the children of Israel, and that is the Passover lamb. No one comes to God. God does not deal with anyone in a formal, direct way unless there is first a sacrifice. Can't be. So the sacrifice was the lamb. What did the sacrifice of the lamb and the blood do? Where did they put the blood? Above the door and on the sides of the door. Okay? That means you had God's protection. He spared the firstborn because of the substitute sacrifice of the lamb and the blood. Spared the firstborn of Israel. What was the second sacrifice? Killing of the firstborn of Egypt. Okay? And what was that against? Okay? Verse 12. Let's read it here. Now, this also becomes important in understanding what we should not do. Now, let's see how important it is telling us what we should not do. Verse 12. Actually, the last sentence in verse 11. It is the Lord's Passover. That agrees with Leviticus 23. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. So that was the second sacrifice. And that devastated and destroyed Egypt. All right. Now then, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is rest from their bondage, release from captivity. And here's how we know that back there in Genesis 15, that it occurred on the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. Right here, Exodus 12 and verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, verse 41, it was even on the very same day is what? That the covenant was given to Abraham. Okay? All the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now, you get into the chronology and you find out that it wasn't 430 years that they were in bondage. So how was it that they were sojourning in Egypt 430 years when they were there just right at 200 years? Well, we find the answer, just put the answer down there, Hebrews 7 chapter. Hebrews 7, where it talks about Abraham. Abraham tithing to the Lord, then the commandment was given to the Levites to take tithes of the children of Israel. But what did Paul write there in Hebrews 7? That in a figure, Levi tithed because he was still in the loins of Abraham. So from that, we can deduce that all the children of Israel in God's plan were all counted within the loins of Abraham. And it was to start then with the beginning with Isaac. So therefore, they were 430 years sojourning in Egypt. Did Abraham go into Egypt? Yes. Did Isaac go into Egypt? Yes. Did the children of Israel go into Egypt? Yes. So you see how you can take a verse like that and add to it. All right. Now let's go forward with this. Now we find in Exodus 16, let's go there, give you a little clue, and we have a footnote to explain the time there. Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. Now, this 15th day of the second month was a Sabbath day. So what can you do once you know that the 15th day of the second month is a Sabbath day? That's the seventh day of the week. Very simple. You can count back, and you come back to the 14th and 15th day of the first month in Egypt, and lo and behold, Passover was on the fourth day of the week. Now, God gave them manna. You know the rest of the story there. They come to Mount Sinai, which then is the next holy day, Pentecost, and we find that before God confirmed the covenant with the children of Israel, they had the Ten Commandments given to them, and that was the starting basis for the covenant. And they were to be a nation of priests to take God's word to the whole world. Now, we won't go through the Ten Commandments. Let's come here and see a very important chapter. Exodus 31. All right, Exodus 31. Exodus 31 and 32 become very important concerning the Sabbath day. So let's read it. Verse 12, Exodus 31. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, truly. Now, truly means in truth. And that means according to what God has given, correct? So you can take this word truly. You can add a lot of things to it, can't you? God is true. His word is true. His law is true. His commandments are true. And now he is saying truly. And this also, as we will see from chapter 32, that we are not to bring and add our ideas to God's way. That becomes important. Now notice what he says. Truly you shall keep my Sabbaths, plural. Every holy day is a Sabbath. So that includes all of them. For it, now the it is not referring to the Sabbath day alone, but it refers to the keeping of my Sabbaths. So it's referring to the action of keeping the Sabbaths of God. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Then he reiterates the weekly Sabbath. Now remember, this is the final thing that God is saying to Moses while he was on Mount Sinai. You shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now, this is a separate, single covenant that goes on down past the covenant with Israel that he had for the what we call the Old Covenant. Now notice, verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. All right. So everything goes back to what God created. Now notice chapter 32, because this is one of the most ironic chapters in the entire Bible, chapter 32, because as the people were waiting for Moses to come down, they got impatient. And what happened? They got together with Aaron, and instead of Aaron telling them, look, he's up there with God. Doesn't matter how long he's going to be there, he's going to come down and bring us the words of God. No, they came to Aaron and said, let's make us gods. So Aaron formed the golden calf, which is what? Idol of Egypt. And the golden calf has the sun disc between its horns. So here we have, right when God was giving the Sabbath, the people were wanting to go back to sun worship. And notice how they did it. All right. Verse 5. And when Aaron saw the calf, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, that's exactly what Sunday keepers do, right? Tomorrow is the feast of the Lord, which God did not say, which God did not proclaim, which God did not sanctify, but the ideas of men and the gods of Egypt. So what did they do? They rose up, so forth. You know the rest of the story. All right? So after they had done everything, finished everything, set up the tabernacle, let's come to the last chapter of the book of Exodus. And the last chapter of the book of Exodus sets up everything that is contained in the book of Leviticus. Because here's how God works. Question is, did they make the golden calf on the Sabbath? I don't know how long it took them to make the golden calf, but they certainly weren't keeping the Sabbath. Yeah, tomorrow. It could have been. Could have been. Good comment. Okay. Now, everything was made according to the instructions of God. Let me just add one little thing in here as we go along. Aaron was the priest. The only reason that God did not take his life is because Moses pleaded for him and God forgave him. Only reason. They set up everything. Anointed Aaron. Okay, he put it all together. Let's pick it up here in verse 33. And he set up the cord all around the tabernacle and the altar. This is Exodus 40, verse 33. And set up the screen of the court gate, and Moses finished the work. And the cloud covered the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle of the congregation. The cloud stayed on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel journeyed on in their journeys. And if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was upon it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel in their journeys. Then you go into the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers, and you find that this was set up on the first day of the first month of the second year. Okay? Now, let's see something that happened. Leviticus 10, and as we're going here in Leviticus 10, let's think back to Genesis 4. Now, what was in Genesis 4? Genesis 4, we had the offering of Abel and Cain. Cain brought what he wanted to bring instead of according to the commandment of God. Now, let's see how that follows through right here in Leviticus 10. Verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took his censer and put fire in it and put incense in it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not to do. Now, if God responded in this way for people who break the commandments of God, the rest who are living would hear in fear, right? And there went out fire from the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. If you don't do things according to the way of God, there is a penalty to be paid. So let's take that principle. What do we find in the New Testament? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In order to remove the penalty of sin, you must have a sacrifice. And that sacrifice we know is Christ. But here again, you cannot carry out your will and try and replace God's commands. There was the fire that God started, and they were to keep it perpetually burning. But they didn't do it. So they thought, well, we will just make a fire ourselves. Well, you know what happened. Okay. Now, doing the overview of the holy days, let's go ahead. We'll take a little break here, and we'll come back.